You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
With Jacinda Ardern in Vietnam for a trade mission, we've seen recently announced a new FTA upgrade with ASEAN and Australia. Some have commented on the possible geopolitical implications of the PM's diverging visit to Vietnam, and to get a sense of what this means and the significance of the visit, I talked to Stephen Hoadley, Associate Professor of Politics and International Relations at the University of Auckland. I began by asking him how big of a deal this announcement is and whether it was an expected step.
Well, it's these trade agreements are subjected to upgrades from time to time. New items come on the agenda, such as digital trade, such as speeding up customs regulations, pre-clearance, and other things, and these have to be incorporated into existing trade agreements. So they're all good steps forward, but they are small steps. The big step was the trade agreement itself, the parent agreement, and these child agreements or supplementary agreements, if you wish, are simply improvements on the basic agreement. So these are all welcome. They're worth doing. They take a lot of time and negotiation, but putting them all together, they do increase New Zealand's ability to export quickly and to minimize transaction costs.
Where does the Vietnamese trade relationship rank in importance to New Zealand? Is this a relationship that's increasing in importance over time?
I think you put your finger right on it. It's increasing. It started off very small. Of course, Vietnam was the enemy during the Vietnam War in the 1970s, but as Vietnam reunified and New Zealand renewed its diplomatic relations, it turned out that Vietnam is a very dynamic economy. Many of the Vietnamese fled to the United States. They did well. They came back. They brought their U.S. knowledge and their contacts with them. So trade increased, manufacturing has increased, they've gone into electronic technology in a big way, not quite rivaling Mumbai or Silicon Valley, but they're certainly moving in that direction. And consequently, Vietnam is a very promising future trade partner. Now, they've barely made the top 10. The traditional trade partners continue to monopolize the top 10, but certainly in Southeast Asia, after Singapore, which is by far New Zealand's most important partner, and after a traditional partner such as Thailand, Malaysia, Indonesia, Vietnam is the up-and-coming partner for New Zealand. So it's quite interesting that Jacinda Ardern has diverted to Vietnam on her way to Bangkok in order to firm up that relationship. And I would predict that Vietnam will be very firmly in the top 10 of New Zealand's trade partners in future.
Some have commented that the Prime Minister's diversion to Vietnam may have more geopolitical implications than is led on, representing a revival of New Zealand's independent foreign policy. What would you say about this sort of analysis?
It's an interesting hypothesis, although that New Zealand's foreign policy, as former Prime Minister Muldoon said, is trade. The geopolitical aspects are best handled by larger partners that have geopolitical and military power, and New Zealand, I believe, is wise to concentrate on strengthening at home, setting a good example of, say, human rights, democracy, open trade, absence of corruption and other virtues, and leave the power politics to others. But it is true that Vietnam has become a partner of the United States in resisting China's encroachments in the South China Sea. They don't have an alliance, but again, the two enemies now have a common enemy, and as they say, having a common enemy will often bring former adversaries together as new partners, maybe not friends, but partners. And the same would be true of New Zealand. So certainly supporting the Vietnamese in their independence from China, their claims for a legal stake in the South China Sea as given them by the United Nations Conference on the Law of the Sea in defiance of China's giant claims based on some sort of Chinese interpretation of history, then New Zealand certainly would be on Vietnam's side in that respect.
With the ASEAN-Australia-New Zealand FTA and this recent upgrade, what kind of role do you think New Zealand is likely to play in the region going forward? You mentioned this sort of idea that New Zealand has more trade relationships than geopolitical relationships.
Yes, I think New Zealand, by setting a good example, by setting an example of clean trade, of unsubsidized trade, remember that most of the countries of the world, their governments subsidize their agricultural sector. New Zealand does not. It stands on its own feet. It earns its own capital. And consequently, New Zealand can set a good example by showing that, look, agriculture and light manufacturing can survive. They do not require subsidies. And New Zealand will continue to urge the reduction of subsidies. And certainly subsidies are pernicious. The Chinese subsidize their fishing fleet, which causes overfishing and illegal fishing. So there's a lot of criticism of the whole idea of government subsidizing private sector activities, and New Zealand would be at the front, leading that criticism. So that's one way in which New Zealand can set a good example. In terms of influence, of course, Australia will be far more influential. New Zealand will always have to take a back seat. The picture in the paper this morning of Jacinda Ardern sort of crouching beside Joe Biden. Claire Trevitt was very courteous to Jacinda, saying, look, this is the role that small countries inevitably have to play. They do have to not beg, but they have to be respectful of the larger countries in order to get what they want. And this is perfectly legitimate because New Zealand's national interest should preclude anything like standing on dignity or vanity or some kind of pretended equality.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.